Welcome to the Fanboy Factor Podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is the founder of the Fanboy Factor and our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. What's up, Brian?
How are you, man?
Pretty good. Brian, I figure we forego a lot of our usual witty banter and start things off by talking about the late Robin Williams.
Yeah. Damn shame.
Yeah. You know, I don't believe that he actually starred in any comic book movies, but supposedly he's been a real big gamer. And besides all that, I know he's affected me, and I'm probably sure he's affected you as well.
Yeah, it's just, the man was just huge. He was iconic himself, and we really lost a true talent. And yeah, someone who's just, he's such a philanthropist too. It's just such a nice guy. And I don't even know what to say. It's just,
yeah, it's first of all, it's shocking. Now, it's been about a week and a half since he passed, so everybody's probably settled in with the news, if you can ever get settled in, not to be cold or anything, but we've had some time to think about it, and it is, it's a shame.
It's really hard. I mean, first off, you know, he didn't die of natural causes, he committed suicide, and then later in the week, we find out he had Parkinson's.
Yeah.
Same disease that Michael J. Fox has.
Yeah.
And we don't know how far along he was. We don't know what his mindset was. We do know he does have a history of being in and out of rehab for drinking, and there was no substances in his body, thank God.
Yeah.
But still, you don't know the depression, you know, what somebody is dealing with at the time. And it's just, it's really a shame. It really is.
Yeah, it's a shame on a lot of levels because you just, like you said, you never know what's going through somebody's mind. And the one thing about, I mean, I don't know him personally. You don't know him personally. Right. But he always dealt with that rehab stuff, his drug taking through his comedy. So he always sort of dealt with that, you know, through his audience, through his comedy. Right. But the, you know, the depression, you never know. And certainly with the Parkinson's, nobody really ever knew about it. So you wonder if it was just, just too much for him.
I mean, with all the things he did, the movie Patch Adams really changed a lot of things with him. And he started performing at children's hospitals.
Yeah.
And it was just, you didn't hear about it because he didn't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
He just went just because it was the right thing to do.
Apparently he did a lot of that stuff because a lot of that stuff now is coming out.
Yeah.
Did a lot of stuff that nobody really ever knew about.
Yeah. And you know, it's all good things. That's why it makes it more of a shame.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, you know, obviously when somebody does hear about all these horrible things, you know, especially, you know, if they commit suicide, it's just like, oh, you know, like Philip Seymour Hoffman, drugs and all this other crap. It's just, you know, you hear about all the shit that happened, but you're not hearing that from anything from Robin Williams, anything negative. I mean, it's just, man, it's just total shock when it happened.
You know, when this first happened, I had thought, and I said a couple times to people, I wonder if he knew how much people loved and missed him, if he would have, you know, maybe changed things. And somebody else had brought it up online and in articles. And when you're depressed, it doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter how much people love you, how much people respect you. I mean, you know, the guy had a storied career, had family, he had kids, and it just, you know, it didn't matter.
No. Okay. I'm not too sure if you heard this story. It's just his daughter.
Yeah.
Was, oh my God, this is the assholes in the community. These fucks, I'm sorry. They started bashing her on Twitter.
I don't get that. What is the, I don't get it.
That is, it's like the most disgusting thing I've heard of. She ended up canceling her entire Twitter account.
Yeah.
And this is, oh my God.
You know, as much as the internet is a good thing, it's also equally very disturbing.
Yeah. And again, it's more pricks who are really brave behind their computer.
Yeah.
You know, damn well if these two, it was two guys, and if, you know, these two dicks were face-to-face, they'd cower down.
You know, there's one thing about the internet that And I'm sure you've noticed as well that when you go onto these websites now, they want you to sign in through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go to Huffington Post and you want to leave a comment, you have to sign in through Facebook.
Right. And
I don't like Facebook. I use it for, you know, this thing, but personally, I don't use it and I don't really like it. However, in light of all these other things that are happening, it makes a ton of sense. When you comment on something like this, sure, it takes away your anonymity, but it makes sense because if I'm going to put a comment on Huffington Post or, you know, somebody's Robin Williams' daughter,
mm-hmm.
it's got my name attached to it. And, you know, if your name is attached to it, maybe you're a little less likely to be a dick, you know?
It's – when this news story dropped, the news even – hid these two dicks behind their fake usernames, and I think they should have posted that.
Yeah, I mean,
if they're going to be that much of a pricks, fuck their privacy.
I'm kind of in agreement with you. I mean, if you're going to have that kind of balls, then you might as well put your name out there.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, I mean, you are harassing her, whether it's on the internet or not. It's still her personal life, and it's her personal life. She was not an actress or. I don't wait. That may be wrong. She may be.
She doesn't really have a great career as an actress. She's trying.
Okay. So, but it's not as if she is personally in the spotlight. Robin Williams made that agreement with the public to put right. himself out there.
Yeah. Okay.
But she did not. So, for her to take whatever, I didn't read any of those tweets. But for her,
they're all taken down. It's just
crap. Is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
These guys are scumbags. They really are.
So to get back to Robin Williams, when did you find Robin Williams when I did with Mork and Mindy?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where I found him. I thought, you know, the show was good.
Yeah.
And then he had his first HBO special.
Was that the one live at the Met?
I think so, with Mr. Happy.
Oh, I can't remember.
I can't remember the name of it, but
yeah, he did. There's two early ones that I remember that, like you, and they are hilarious. They're still funny.
Oh, they are. I mean, I couldn't stop pissing my pants, and it's just, you know, there are some jokes that are there that he used that are just I still to my wife. He did this. He goes. Elmer Fudd covers. I'm not doing it. Just Elmer Fudd covers Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen.
Alive and in my core. I know I'm not doing it any justice, but I still, you know, crack up with my wife about that. It's just.
It's funny.
It's hilarious. I mean, I really loved it when played against. Type like his first movies, like One Hour Photo.
Yeah,
when he started playing these like really creepy guys, and it's just like he really stretched his acting bones, other than just being a funny guy.
Yeah,
and it's just that's where he really just started blowing me away on the screen.
One of my favorite movies, and to be honest, I mean it was really one of my favorites, and it's sort of one of those things that I guess got away from me.
Mm-hmm.
The Fisher King.
Oh, I love that one.
I love that movie. And for years, I watched that movie. It just was a great movie. And I guess I just forgot about it. So, you know, he passes away and people are listing movies, this one, that one. And somebody says, The Fisher King, that is a great – that's almost an underrated movie.
No, it is.
You know, it's a really good movie.
I feel like that's directed by Terry Gilliam of, you know, Monty Python fan.
Yeah.
And I really feel like all his films are kind of underrated. But I mean, he wrote a really nice thing about, you know, Robin passing and just how nice he was, you know, how fun it was to work with him.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, that is one of my favorite movies too. Just hands down, not just Robin Williams, just hands down.
Yeah. Everybody's excellent. And Mercedes Rule won an Academy Award for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
It really is.
And one of the other pictures I came across, I thought actually two that I thought were funny. Not really funny, was the picture he won the award for Good Will Hunting. And him, Batman, and Matt Damon are together, and they all look – I mean, it's 20 years ago. They all look like kids. Batman by – I mean, Ben Affleck, of course.
Ben Affleck, yeah. And he's still got
– Bruce Wayne.
And there's still four movies that are supposed to come out with him in it.
Well, I don't. You're right. I heard that maybe one of them is not going to be released, but I don't know which one. I read that today. Picture I saw that was really funny. You've probably seen it too. When I think it was the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders came running out. I don't know when the picture was taken. It's in black and white. It was years ago. Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders come running out from out. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
And he's dressed up as one. It is really fucking funny.
He's just...
Random. And that's what was, I think, really great about the guy is he was just so random.
It's he was off the wall. He was just... He was always on. Even when he wasn't on, he was always on.
It must have been hard to have a personal life with him.
Yeah. But it is such a loss. I mean, I know we mainly care, talk about comics, but he almost actually did play the Riddler.
Yeah. Yeah. You sent me that article, which was real interesting.
Yeah. And it's
from that movie that I really like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forever.
And the funny thing is, like, he wanted to play it in intelligent.
Yeah.
And the producer said no, so you could tell which idiots were reading the comics and which ones weren't.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the Riddler, it's just, yes, he's got, a OCD when it comes to leaving riddles for clues.
Right.
But he's not an idiot.
He's not a goofball.
No. He's an intelligent character. He's evolved. He's really evolved into this very intelligent, almost, he figured out Batman's identity.
Yeah.
In the pre-52.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, kind of how Williams wanted to play it, but they're like, no, we want him goofy.
Yeah.
So Williams dropped out, and it was...
Well, didn't it say Schumacher wanted, what's his face, to play him?
Yeah.
Like younger and more frenetic. Not that he's really more frenetic, but like you said, he was younger. What's his name?
Carrie, Carrie was, that was at the height of Carrie's career.
Yeah.
I mean, those heydays are gone.
Yeah.
God help me, I saw a thing for Dumb and Dumber.
I know, I did too. And you know what? I saw it in the theater, the commercial for it, or the trailer for it. People are cracking up. And I'm watching, I'm like, okay. Okay.
I'm watching and I'm like, oh my God, this is painful. Yeah. This is really painful.
Was it – who was calling for this?
I would say Jim Carrey because it
probably.
From the trailer, it doesn't seem – it doesn't even seem like Daniels is really into it.
Yeah.
That's the impression I'm getting from, the trailer. It just seems like that type – the Farley Brothers type of humor is kind of gone, passe.
Yeah.
And,
it's so early 2000s.
Yeah, and it's just – that type of gross humor is just—it's gone. It's not. People don't like that so much anymore.
Yeah.
But somewhere in Hollywood, someone thought it'd be a good idea.
Somebody's gonna make some money.
Oh, God help us!
Tell you who it won't be. It won't be me.
Ooh. Zing! I will not be buying a ticket for that film.
So Robin Williams. Oh, and a genie. Another favorite role of mine.
Oh, yes.
Genie Aladdin.
Yeah.
Really? I to me, that is an awesome movie.
I saw an article about, somebody trying to figure out how much in all of his roles, how much was improv and how much was scripted.
Yeah, I bet a lot of it was improv.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Especially the comedy roles.
Yeah, it's just, he goes off and it's just like, especially in his early comedies. He's just, all over the damn place.
With him being so all over the place, I wonder how difficult it was for him and the director and maybe other actors in these serious roles. Was he able to – I guess he was because he did go to Juilliard School of, whatever that is, acting with Chris Reeve. So he did say he was trained as an actor. But, he was such – so animated, and in a lot of these movies, he's not, those dramatic roles were not animated.
No, I mean, there was that one film by Chris Nolan, Insomnia.
Yeah.
Where he played opposite freaking Pacino.
Yeah.
And it was a tense thriller. It really was.
Yeah.
And he did he was not his usual goofy self. He was this sicko, and it's just he was great in the role. It was Nolan's second film, right, coming right off the Memento film, and so it was a great sophomore film. It really was.
Yeah.
Just man, really a damn shame.
Yeah. Dead Poets Society, you know, all the classics. You know what I never saw, but people are talking about it. Death to Smoochie.
Yeah, I saw that. Yes. If you hate Barney, you'll appreciate that one.
And I also like it gets bashed a lot, but I like Bicentennial Man. I thought that's a pretty good movie.
It's kind of cute. I saw this one really twisted film called World's Greatest Dad.
I never saw that one either.
Yeah, it's directed by Bobcat Goldthwait, of all people.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Like, I knew that.
And Bobcat just makes some really twisted, sick black comedies, and I love every minute of it. You know, and this is why I think it really bugged me so much, to losing him.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, we just got this film from Netflix called The Angriest Man in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And it's William's latest film, and then, you know, 2 weeks later, he passes away, and just like, oh my God, I just watched him on the screen.
Isn't that weird?
It was just like a little creepy to me.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with, you saw the trailer for Night at the Museum. He's in that with Teddy Roosevelt. You know, they got a new one coming out in the fall or the winter, whatever the hell that is. I saw it in front of Guardians, and it's like, God, it's a shame.
I've never seen any of those films.
What, Night at the Museum? I didn't either, but he's in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's a shame.
I know. It's just... It's one of the last people you thought would commit suicide. It really was. And it's just, you know, like I said, it's, you know, it just all the stuff he's done. And just out of the goodness of his own heart, we really have lost a saint.
Yeah. Shame. All right. Well, you want to switch gears a little bit now that we're...
good and depressed.
Yeah, well, that's our tribute.
Yeah.
Tribute to Robin Williams. So there's always Aquaman we can talk about.
Oh, yes.
Going from Robin Williams to Aquaman. He would, you know what? Robin Williams would want us to talk about Aquaman, I think.
Damn straight, yes.
So what I think is interesting about Aquaman is that everybody is still reporting that Jason Momoa is signed on for Aquaman. And he has not. I even sent you a link last week. It might have been from Variety.
That's the thing. Is you sent me a link from another page.
Yes.
Who link it back to the Variety thing from June. Everybody's doing this. And I'm just – I lost track of the amount of times I had to correct people. Like, it's not confirmed. You're looking at an old article.
Wait a minute. So I see the headline. I just scroll down real quick. Finally, he's confirmed. I shoot it off to you. You come back not a second later and he's not confirmed. I'm like, Brian, man, you are good. What I don't understand is that article where it's linked to was back from June. Now, this is October. I mean, this is mid-October, not yet. This is mid-August. And they are still going back. He hasn't confirmed it. And they're going back to that article from June. And you pointed out he's not confirmed. And I'm like, damn, Brian, you are good. And he's actually, it sounds like, he's getting annoyed with people that are asking him.
Yeah.
Because he sent out a tweet that said, basically, leave me alone about it. Something to that effect.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, stop asking me if it happened.
I'm doing other things right now. Stop asking me about Aquaman.
Because, well, one of the things he's doing, he's in the middle of trying to release a film that he directed and wrote.
Oh, is it? No kidding.
And so he's getting all this shit about Aquaman. He's just like, dude, you want to look at the shit I just did on my own?
And the thing about Aquaman is, even if he is and he confirms it, he's only going to be in it for 3 minutes as Aquaman. It's only going to be a cameo.
Yeah.
It's to lead up. Had this big intricate role as Aquaman.
No, because Aquaman is getting his own movie.
There you go. Hey, did they give that a release date?
Is
that on DC's wish list of movies? Is that on there as a release date?
There is no release date. There are competing writers.
Okay.
You know, they'll probably be rewritten 50 million more times. But it's just
you're right. You said it was two competing writers, right?
Yeah.
Now, when they say there's two competing writers, are they writing the same story, or are they two different stories and they're going to pick the best one? I'm sorry.
It kind of depends, to be honest with you.
So what they do is they have an idea.
And they have an idea. Yeah, it's either they just go, okay, we want to make an Aquaman movie, write a script, or, you know, here's a treatment, which is pretty much for those who don't know, a treatment is pretty much a couple paragraphs explaining what the plot is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, pretty much this is our treatment, fill it with dialogue and show us what you got.
Yeah.
So we got two writers for Aquaman.
Okay.
And we still don't know.
Is it anybody that we would know, any names that we would recognize?
One guy wrote Gangster Squad.
Okay.
And one guy wrote 300 Rise of an Empire.
Oh, okay.
So, you know.
No, it's not like they're real known people, but that doesn't mean nothing.
No, it doesn't. I mean, look at something like Captain America, you know, Winter Soldier, directed by two guys who've never done an action film before. All they've done is sitcoms.
Absolutely.
And, you know.
Look at James Gunn and Guardians.
Yeah, it's, you know, freaking thing kicked ass.
Yeah. $200 million.
Well, like, you know, they do have a release date. It's between 2016 and 2020.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a pretty small window.
Yeah.
Jesus. But they did at one point. They had a lineup of all the movies that they were going to release. I guess they threw that out. Like, it was supposed to be Batman versus Superman, and then it was going to be like Superman 2.
Yeah.
Remember that? I guess they tossed that aside.
Yeah, they tossed that aside, and that's where we got the, you know, Batman versus Superman, Untitled Project, Untitled Project, Untitled Group Project, Untitled Project.
They're really taking a gamble, aren't they?
You know, and nothing against Jason Momoa. It's just...
Is the hair going to bother you that he doesn't have blonde hair?
Yeah, they could always dye it.
I saw a couple pictures, you know, artist representations. I think he might be pretty good, actually.
Mm.
If you don't get beyond it. They cannot make him a blonde. I don't think he would look good as a blonde.
No, his skin is way too dark. But it's...
He definitely has the look and I think the attitude of a ass-kicking Aquaman.
But, you know, that's, you know, part of the problem, you know, it's not really part of the problem, but, you know, part of Aquaman's original origins is he was banished from Atlantis as a very little boy.
Yeah.
Because he was blonde and was saw as a sign of destruction.
Oh, well, that could pose a problem then, couldn't it?
And
he was banished because his mom or dad was human. Which one was – who was human?
No, his father was human, but his mother was a queen.
Right.
She went back, gave birth to a blonde-haired son, and that's – you know, there was an old legend. So, you know, they pretty much left the kid out. It's been revamped so many times.
Yeah.
You know, one origin is it's really not his biological father. It ends up being his adopted father.
Okay.
Like the father is a lighthouse keeper and ends up finding the child.
Right. That's in New 52.
Is that that was also the original origin too.
Okay.
You know, they found the child. He finds the child, raises him as his own, realizes, you know, he's got, you know, he can talk to fish, can swim, you know, breathe underwater and all this other stuff. And then, you know, eventually, you know, for a long time, he thought it was the only person.
Yeah.
Aquaman. And then he eventually went back, fought against the current regime, and then, you know, everybody realized he was the actual prince, and then they made him king.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody forgot about the so-called curse that they were afraid of. So, I mean, it's, again, this is me just with my comic book head. I mean, yeah, of course, there's ways around this, you know.
Comic book historian, our resident comic book historian.
I don't know. It's just, I feel that physically he's bigger than Superman. Than,
are you talking about Aquaman as a character?
No, I mean, Jason Momoa is physically, he looks more physically menacing.
Yes.
He's more physical than Henry Cavill is.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't
really have a problem with that because I don't, to me, Superman doesn't really need to be physically menacing.
Mm. But, you know, I'm hearing things that they're going to go with the kind of Conan underwater type of scenario.
Yeah, okay.
Which, you know, that's pretty much the Peter David run.
Yeah. That's fine.
I mean, it's – and I am kind of curious how they're going to do it. To be honest with you, out of all the characters, an individual movie, one that needs to take place 90% underwater in a live action, that's a big risk, man.
Yeah, that's a good point. Waterworld comes to mind.
Yeah, but Waterworld was above
so well.
But Waterworld was above the water. We're talking under the water.
Well, the
you got to somehow simulate these characters breathing and talking underwater without them actually drowning.
That's a good point. I didn't really think about that. The other movie that comes to mind is The Phantom Menace, when they were all underwater. The Gungan.
Oh yeah, but those guys.
But they weren't even. I mean, they were underwater, but they were in bubbles.
Yeah.
So, but that also comes to mind. That's a good point. I didn't really consider that. I wonder how they would do it.
Yeah, I mean,
they had computers, man. Those computers can do some things.
I can see them to a degree, kind of like hanging from wires.
Yeah.
And you know, CGing the water over it, but you know, just. I'm trying to picture. It's just like it seems like a big gamble. Just you really, I think that's why they're also Marvel's dragging their feet on a Namor movie.
Yeah.
Because I've been hearing about a Namor movie ever since The Abyss.
Yeah.
Because they were going to use that set. It was at the time. It was still set up at Universal.
Oh no shit! They were going to use that set. Huh.
They were going to use it. Since then, it was there's a big pool. Pond for underwater filming, and the Abyss set was still there, and they were going to use that set for Namor. Never happened, but Universal still maintains the rights to Namor.
Well, I'll tell you, if they pull Aquaman off, you know there's going to be a Namor movie.
Yeah, I know.
That'll probably be better.
I mean, it's just, like I said, as I can't see, like, right now, how you're going to do it, these people talking underwater, I think that when he uses the fish, be fucking amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this. Is there somebody in your mind that you would like to see play Aquaman?
Unfortunately, it's like I lean back towards blondish actors. And, you know, I know that sounds silly. I'm being very stereotypical.
It's all right.
The only one, and I don't know if he's too gay, I think I would go a little younger. My God, he was in the film I Am Number 4.
Oh, I know who you're talking
Pfeiffer.
About.
I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I could see that happening.
You know, I would have gone something like that, but it seems like if they're using Jason, maybe they aren't going to be doing the origin story.
Yeah, if they're using that guy, he's definitely older looking.
Yeah, it'll probably be established, but, you know, I'm trying to, like, wrap my head about what type of plot they can use here. It's just, is it going to be Atlantis versus the surface world?
You know, going back to what you were saying about them being underwater, that's a good point. And I wonder if maybe they would just do a lot of it above, and you know, above the water and on the land. Because he does hang out. He doesn't have to be in the water, right?
Well, he doesn't have to be, but, you know, if they're going to do all this thing with Atlantis and stuff, it's you need it.
Perhaps. I'm just thinking of a way out around for them.
And like I said, they probably have a plan. I don't know if they have a plan, but, you know, I just can't see it in my head right now. It's very hard
for me, it's just, it seems very difficult. And, you know, this is like way different than like characters in space at all, because, you know, yeah. It's, you know, as we've talked about, you know, before Guardians came out, it was going to be a huge risk. The amount paid off, but it's at least there's been space stuff.
Right. Wait a minute, Brian, you know what you're forgetting about? There is something that takes place underwater. There is a show that takes place underwater. SpongeBob.
SpongeBob.
Take the whole show, Brian, takes place underwater, under the sea.
Under the sea, yes. God help us.
You know, going on a little bit of a SpongeBob tangent, you know what I love about that show is every once in a while, they'll throw in a bubble. They'll throw a bubble coming out of their mouths. Otherwise, who the hell knows they're underwater?
Oh, God. Yeah, the other thing I'm really curious about is, is DC willing to take a risk on a character like Black Manta?
What would be the risk?
First off, the name and a black man dressed up as Black Manta. You know, there are rumors that, you know, I heard things about when Aquaman, during the Justice League Unlimited cartoon, they had a character called Devil Ray.
Okay.
And they said they couldn't use the name Black Manta because they were in the process of doing that. Theoretically, Aquaman series called Mercy Reef.
Okay.
I call it bullshit.
Do you
I really think they didn't want to get, they wanted to be PC and not use the name Black Manta with a black man.
Well, okay.
And
called Black Manta because he's a black man.
Actually, he is.
Is that why they call him Black Manta? I thought it was because of his getup.
No, it's when in the late 70s.
Okay, oh boy.
The Death of the Prince, where Aquaman's son dies, Black Manta takes off his helmet and says, "You ever wonder why I'm called Black Manta?"
For real, that really did happen.
For real, yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. I stand corrected.
He takes off his helmet and there's a black man underneath and he goes, "I'm doing this for my people." He was pretty much, when they finally did that, the writer at the time, Paul Kupperberg, got inspiration from the Black Panthers.
Okay.
So that's, he evolved into, from being just, you know, a standard scavenger scumbag villain, to a Black Pantherish extremist for his own people.
Okay. Well, even that. Okay. Well, then I get it. Then it makes, it does take off that, I don't know, that it's not really racially motivated. You know what I'm trying? It's not reverse racially motivated. You know what I'm trying to say?
But in this PC era, it's just, I mean, can you really see that happening?
Like, they can just call him Manta.
Yeah.
He's, to me, he's a good character.
No, I think so too.
You just call him Manta.
I just don't want to see him go up against his brother again because I'm getting so bored seeing that already.
It's the same thing over and over again.
It's Shakespearean nonsense. Yeah. It's getting boring fast.
Yeah.
I've seen it in the cartoons, the comics.
It's like the only and it's not the only story they have, but it's like the only story they could pull out.
Yeah, they keep pulling it out. And it's even the subject of the upcoming next animated feature.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Can we stop this and just get past it? I'm just tired of the brother versus brother, you know, Cain and Abel with these two. It's just,
yeah.
I mean, that's what made, you know, Aquaman such a badass, is when his son died, his rage towards Manta just, when Green Arrow was brought back by Kevin Smith, there was a fight between Black Manta and Aquaman, and Aquaman was about to kill him, and, you know, Green Arrow had to stop him.
Really?
You know, Arrow just couldn't believe the amount of rage Aquaman had. He didn't think, he would stop.
Right. Because he just talks to fish.
Yeah.
Even Arrow thinks that.
Yeah.
I don't. I think Aquaman's a cool character.
Yeah.
Talking to fish thing. First of all, that thing, that's part of the problem right there. Everybody says he's talking to fish. He's not talking to fish.
He's king of how much of the world?
Oh, God. What's the Earth is what? 90% water? Or is that the human body?
No, I think it's the human body. But
okay,
it's,
whatever.
It's like 60% water or 70%, and it's just.
Now that would be a cool thing. He could like Magneto pull the water right out of you. Wouldn't it be cool? I'd love to see that.
That's what Aqualad did in Young Justice.
Did he really? God damn it. They stole my idea. No, for real. Did he do that to somebody?
No, he didn't do it to somebody, but it's just like when Aqualad had the power to control water.
Okay.
But to a lesser degree, and then when he went home to Atlantis.
Yeah.
It seemed like everybody had the power to control water except Aquaman. He's just like, great, even in Young Justice, you're fucking useless.
But he could talk to fish.
He could talk to fish.
Oh, my God. Movie related, on the other side, Art Man. Ant-Man, Brian. I meant
Ant-Man.
Started principal photography. Art-Man, though, I hear is coming up.
Yeah. Yes, started today. It's today, which is August 18th, for those who don't know, and it's filming in Atlanta, Georgia.
I don't really have a good feeling about this movie.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a problem with Michael Douglas. I like Paul Rudd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe there's just too much not coalescing around this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm wrong. This is not a Fantastic Four thing for me.
Right.
It just, doesn't seem – first of all, I don't really – Ant-Man's not a character that – you know, he's not on my high character list. Not that that's a problem. I mean, look, Guardians of the Galaxy, that wasn't like high on my list either. I don't know. It just seems like just too much drama around this movie.
And plus the fact is, again, another risk. We're talking a major gamble with somebody who just shrinks.
Yeah. And plus, it really, he's more of a comedy kind of thing, isn't he? Like, to me. He's not.
The third one is.
Oh, okay. All right.
But then that was written by Kirkman.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, I could be totally wrong. I hope I am, because
I know a lot of people are already pissed off because there's no Janet Van Dyke isn't in there. The way it is, it's the plot is back in the 70s. Michael Douglas was Ant-Man as a hero, retired. Scott Lang has his daughter who's ailing.
Okay.
Played by Rudd, who ends up stealing the Ant-Man equipment and ends up becoming a hero.
See, it doesn't sound like it's – I don't know.
They're not – they're giving very little of the plot right now.
Yeah.
So it's very –
it's always been like shrouded in not even secrecy. I don't know. I just got a feeling.
Yeah, it just seems like lately, it's just like they're really hush-hush on all the plots lately. And just like, I don't understand what's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the problem with just giving away what the plot is?
Yeah.
And even, you know, Ultron is just, it's coming out next summer, and all we know is just, there's a Ultron's big robot. Yeah. It's just like, can we see a plot already, please?
Yeah.
Just an official plot, you know, and it's weird because it's just, you got the guy, Corey Stoll, who's in House of Cards. He's currently the lead in The Strain. He's going to be playing the villain, Yellowjacket.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Again, it's, you know, you got to separate your comic mind from your movie mind, but it's just a little weird. And they just added two new actors to it. John Slattery from Mad Men,
mm-hmm.
and he also played, this is kind of weird, he played Anthony Stark's father in Iron Man 2.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then Judy Greer, who, I can't stand her. She's just...
What's she from?
If I'm not mistaken, she's an Archer, and... Blonde bimbo seems to be all over the damn place.
Ah, okay. Whatever.
And
I'm mad about this. What's the release date on this movie? You know?
It is July 17th, 2015.
Oh, it's next year.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, I'll probably go see it anyway.
I mean, I you know, like you, I really would have liked to see Edgar Winter's vision of it. Yeah. I'm a fan of Winter's.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would have brought a nice blend of humor and action to it. Yeah. I don't know too much about the current director, Peyton Reed. I mean, he did Bring It On.
Oh, God.
Movie. And The Breakup.
I'm not judging because, look, again, where everybody comes from, whatever. It could be a movie. Here's hoping. But,
you know, it's just like he's mainly known for comedies. Yeah, I don't like his comedies, but, you know, I'm trying to keep an open mind here. But, yeah, it's just there's been a lot of doom and gloom around this film. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's just like, hey, we're filming today.
Yeah.
What?
Well, look, it could be good. I'm hoping. Yeah. I got my fingers crossed. Listen, they certainly definitely have my ticket because they – right now they can do – they are Pixar a couple of years ago. They can do no wrong. Marvel can do no wrong right now.
So if they keep that way.
Yeah, let's hope.
I will be upset. I mean, Marvel films, you know, other than some of the sequels, I don't think they've had too many bombs yet.
Yeah. I mean, listen, financially they've been making money, so it's not like there's no reason for them to not keep making movies.
Right.
People point to Iron Man 2, which, you know, was all right. And a lot of people don't like Iron Man 3, which I liked. I didn't think it was horrible.
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was great.
I think it was – I think it was better than Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2 was a little stinky.
Iron Man 2, I felt like they were trying to rush the famous demon in the bottle storyline.
Yeah, and they didn't really go all the way with.
Yeah, that they should – yeah, and that they should have stretched out more, but – you know, I heard rumors that they're worried there would be. See, the problem is, you know, that movie Hancock came out.
Yeah. Oh,
which was pretty much Demon in a Bottle.
Yeah.
And
so it was not a good movie.
No, but it. You know, they were worried about the comparisons.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
And you know, it's. I mean, also in Marvel news, the Doctor Strange film is going to theoretically skip the origin route.
Wouldn't that be a refreshing change?
I kind of like the idea.
Of them not doing a origin?
Yeah.
Why can't they just do a movie and at some point in the movie, 5-minute interlude of his origin?
No, I fully agree with you. They could do it that way. You could have somebody come to him and you establish things from there. But you don't need to do a full origin with him.
Yeah.
You can get around it.
They haven't really associated anybody with that movie yet, right?
Have they? No. A lot of people still in talks.
Yeah. That should be interesting. Oh, the Phoenix was the last one I heard.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is. Joaquin Phoenix. Joaquin
Phoenix, yeah. And yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
On one hand, when they do the CGI for it, I really hope they take a lot from Ditko's artwork.
Yeah.
Because that would look sick on screen.
Yeah, I mean, that when I think Doctor Strange, and I know he's been around forever and he's still, but that's exactly what I think of.
Yeah, the magic's got to look like Ditko's art. It's really got to be out there. It's really got to be trippy hippie. It's really, you know, when he's casting the magic and shit, it's really good. The effects got to look like that. That's all I'm demanding. That's all I'm demanding. When you do the magic, please have a trippy dippy like Ditko did it, and I'll be very happy. You know, I can't see his costume working on screen at all.
Yeah.
But you know, I had been proven wrong before. So that's going to be interesting to see.
Hey, and did you see the new trailer for the Flash show? There's tease and multiverse, man.
Well, now the latest thing is they're teasing a multiverse, and they're saying it might lead to Flashpoint.
Wait a minute. They are going as far as to say that it could lead to Flashpoint.
It could lead to Flashpoint.
If they do that, okay, that's fine. But it can't be for a while. Let this guy be the Flash for a little bit, and then do Flashpoint.
Oh, please, they already set up 20, you know, we already know in 20 years from October, he dies.
Yeah. Hey, are you a Star Wars fan?
I like it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Star Wars stuff leaking lately. I don't know if you've caught it.
Yeah, the main
design sketches of Han.
Yep, and not too much going on, you know, not too many changes there.
No, you know, I go back and forth about this movie. I'm a big Star Wars fan, the original trilogy.
Right.
But the new trilogy really, really killed it for me. I mean, really, like, killed it.
Yeah.
Now, I know there people do love it, whatever. You know, all things Star Wars. I just, right now, I'm on the fence. These guys, they're old now. I mean, no offense. I'm not being a dick here or anything, but it is the fact. They're old now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not parents. They're grandparents. They're that kind of age.
Right.
What kind of story are they going to be able to tell over a trilogy with these guys? You know, I don't know.
But it's not just that. It's just, you know, you got the new animated show coming out, Star Wars Rebels.
Rebels, yeah.
And a lot of people are more excited about that.
Well, what I've been reading is that Rebels really ties into this new series. Like, it's going to tie in the original trilogy with this new series very tightly.
Right. Like, you
really have to kind of watch the show. It's a real setup for the new movies.
And now there's a new rumor floating around.
Yeah.
Now that Disney has the rights.
Yeah.
They're going to release the un-George Lucas edited version of the original Star Wars 4, 5, and 6 on Blu-ray, which means hand shot first.
Let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. Well, wait, two things. Is that a rumor or has that been confirmed?
Right now, it is just a rumor.
Okay. Here's another thing I go back and forth. And this is probably really going to kill my cred. I don't really have too much of a problem with the special editions. I mean, Han definitely shot first. That, no matter what. That to me was always stupid that they changed that. But I don't know. I don't have too much of a problem with the special editions.
A lot of people don't. It's just that one thing with Han shooting first because it takes away from his entire character.
Yeah, it does. I mean, listen, he was completely neutered in Return of the Jedi. That's bad enough.
Yeah.
But don't do it in Star. I mean, he is.
He's the badass. He's the cowboy.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's on the fence.
Yeah.
And the fact that he just shot first, it just sets him up. What type of,
right.
He's kind of a scumbag. Yeah, he's kind of a scumbag. Yeah.
Like he says, he is a scoundrel.
He's a scoundrel, yeah, and that's his personality. And if you watch the special edition, it just looks so horrible, that shot that Greedo gets off. It's just like, okay, you couldn't even update the scene.
Yeah.
All they did was put in a laser effect, and it just – neither actor really reacted.
Appropriately.
Yeah, right. Because they didn't reshoot it.
Right.
And it just looks stupid, first off. Second off, you know, like we said, it just takes away his street cred.
Yeah, it does. I saw Guardians of the Galaxy again this weekend. And I saw it the second time. And the first time, to me, there was a little bit of Star Wars feeling in there.
Right.
Watching the second time, it definitely has a Star Wars feel to it. And I watch the ships and how they move, and I wonder – wow, you know, if they could take that original trilogy without all that bullshit and how the ships would move and all that stuff, it would be so awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about remaking it or rebooting. It just, if they made Star Wars now, it would be awesome.
No, please, with the technology they have.
But I guess that's the point of the new trilogy. Like I said, I am hopeful, but who knows.
Now, have you seen the new Warner animated feature, Batman Assault on Arkham, yet?
No, I have not. But you saw it, didn't you?
I saw it.
What did you think?
All right, let me first just set the ground. Sorry, I am not a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I played the first one.
Yeah.
And I did like it a lot. I just don't have a computer to really support these type of games. I'm not really one to go out and buy a system. Yeah. I have nothing against gaming.
Yeah.
It's just not my thing.
Okay.
That's all.
I'm not a gamer myself either, because I just don't have the hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, I please. I'm old, dude. Oh, tell me about it. The 80s were so much easier.
Right? It was one button.
One button. Maybe a joystick, maybe a trackball.
That was it. I watched my sons play these games, and their fingers are flying over, and I'm like, and they look at me like, Dad, it's just up, up, down. Oh, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah, my nephew tries to get me to do it, and I'm like, But honestly,
yes,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, really?
I can't say it's supposed to bridge the gap between, because the way they did it is it was Batman Arkham.
Okay.
The sequel was Arkham City.
Uh-huh.
And then the prequels, Arkham Origins.
Right.
And this is supposedly takes place in between Origins and Arkham.
Okay.
I can't say how it fit in with Origins because I'm not familiar with, but it did fit in with Arkham.
Okay.
And it's the best part about this film.
Yeah.
Batman isn't the center.
Really?
He's just the name on the box to sell the film.
So, who's the voice of Batman?
Kevin Conroy, as usual.
No shit.
Yep.
It always sucks when he's not Batman, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You don't think? Oh, I just associate his voice with Batman.
He is Batman, just like, you know, Mark Hamill's Joker and Clancy Brown is Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
He is Batman. But he's a secondary character in this film.
Really?
The main characters are the Suicide Squad.
And that's interesting.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, it's pretty much, it's like all these, you know, the Dirty Dozen type films, the Italian Job. You see the group of, you're rooting for the scumbags.
So what exactly is the premise then? What is the Suicide Squad doing?
The premise is, as it opens up, Riddler has taken something from Amanda Waller, who's in charge of the Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Waller wants it back, but she finds out that he is in Arkham.
Okay.
At the same time, Batman is trying to track down a dirty bomb that the Joker has planted somewhere in Gotham.
Okay.
So Batman is preoccupied. That being happened, Waller sends in the Suicide Squad to retrieve this USB drive and pretty much get out and, you know, keep casualties to a minimum.
Okay.
Plans don't always go as well as they seem. And if you know anything about Amanda Waller, she's always has an ulterior motive. And I really don't want to say more without giving it away.
Okay.
But it's just, it goes from there. I stress this in when I wrote my review. They call it PG-13. Personally, I would put an R rating on it.
No way, really?
Just for language, sexual situations, and violence.
Okay.
You know, that doesn't take anything away from the way I felt about the film. It's just, this ain't a PG. You know, if you're a dumbass parent who can't read the rating and you're going to get upset because it's a Batman film where people swear, flip off, have sex, and get shot in the head, then you're an idiot.
How was the character designs? Did you like them?
The only one I didn't like was Deadshot.
No?
No, it's just, he had this big 80s, 70s color.
Okay.
And it just, I don't know, it didn't work for me so much. But other than that, it's, this version was kind of a blend of both the pre-52 and the new 52.
Okay.
And its designs are all based in the Arkham world. So it's like there's really no, like they had Killer Frost as one of the members, but she couldn't, in the comics, she couldn't like shoot ice from her hands.
Okay.
In this, her hands would turn ice cold and she would have to touch something to freeze it.
Okay. So it's got more of a realistic kind of.
Yeah. Like the games do.
Okay.
And it was just. It was insane from there. It was a great thrill ride. It really is, man.
Really? And Batman doesn't have a big part.
No.
Actually, if you look at the cover art, only his face is on there. It's really the Suicide Squad that's featured.
Yeah, they're the main focus. And that's what makes this film so great. It's just like so different from anything else. It's nice to see something different.
How come they can do these decent TV shows and direct-to-video movies and they can't put together a cinematic universe, Brian?
I couldn't even tell you. I think Warner Animation is just – I truly think that Warner Animation has comic fans in their base. Even if you look at that Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
There are nods in there,
There's a ton of Easter eggs in there.
Yeah. Just these people at Warner Animation, they're comics. And, they push the limits a lot.
Yeah.
But there is still a love of these characters. And I think that's why they're able to get these done a lot better than, the movies where you got studio executives who don't have a fucking clue. That's the problem. These guys don't have a fucking clue when it comes to this stuff.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to check that out, man. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. It's, like I said, it's really good. It's got a featurette on Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Because she's one of the members and, she's got a big role.
Okay.
And it also has a first look at the Aquaman animated feature.
How's that look? Well, you weren't crazy about it to begin with.
I wasn't crazy about the plot, the brother versus brother thing.
Yeah.
I like the way Aquaman looks. The story is more about, first off, you got his brother Orm. As you saw at the end of the first Justice League War, you saw the Ocean Master, also Orm.
Okay.
Holding up the King of Atlantis, saying they killed the king. Referring, he thinks it's the surface dwellers when it was actually Darkseid.
Yeah.
So he wants to create a war on the surface world.
Okay.
And then you got Aquaman, who doesn't know where his origins are.
Okay.
He's just this angry guy, and it's about him finding his own origins, finding out he's Atlantean. And they show this one scene where it's just like he's drunk, walks up to a lobster tank, wants to free the lobsters because he can talk to fish.
Yeah. He can communicate with underwater animals, Brian.
Yes.
Let's talk to fish.
So, he's drunk, and so all the, it's a seedy bar, so of course a bar fight brawl bursts out, and, he's kicking ass because he's stronger than everybody else, but it looked good, man. It really did. It's got some of the same casting, but a couple changes. Nathan Fillion is going to be doing Green Lantern again.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Rosario Dawson is going to be voicing Wonder Woman.
Really?
Yeah.
She's done that before, hasn't she?
No, she was in the Wonder Woman film, but she played Artemis.
Okay. Okay.
She was in the animated feature, but she didn't play Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And, it's... seems like it's got a good cast.
Cool.
Same animation style. I'm still not thrilled with the way Cyborg looks, but, whatever. I'll deal.
All right, Brian. You got anything else?
No, that is pretty much it that I got for the news. I know people are going to be going nuts over Multiversity this week.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pick it up. And we'll have it to talk about next week.
Yeah, I'm going to pick it up too, but I'm going to wipe my ass with it.
Oh! Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it, and I'm going to try and understand it, and we are going to talk about it next week.
God.
Or I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to try and talk about it, at least.
Yeah. And I'll try not to kill myself. Okay, was that in bad taste, seeing what we just talked about?
No, it's fine. Robin would understand.
Yes, Robin would take that as a joke.
He would know it's a joke. How's your week looking? You got anything coming up?
Nope. It is pretty much an average week for me. Struggling with a review on the Muppets Most Wanted.
Nice.
Yeah, you say that. I got to get it done by tomorrow or Disney's going to be pissed. And it is so hard to write a review for something you thought was crap.
Oh, man. Don't listen, Brian. Don't piss Disney off.
No.
Okay?
No.
No, sir.
No, sir. But I think that's all I got for this week.
All right. I'm just doing my usual antics. You can find me on yfnjman.com and on thefanboyfactor.com. So until next week, Brian, I'll talk to you then.
Definitely.
All right, man. Have a good week.
You too, man.